Well, good morning, everybody. Good to be with you this morning. I hope you're excited about the day today. I'm excited to see you. Golly, you look good. There it goes. I can't even get out without the laugh. I would love some help from you. I just want to ask a question and ask you to respond. And don't go long and analytical on me. Just quick phrases, thoughts. What in your life do you find brings you joy? And what I mean by that is, what in your life, just what kind of occurrences, what experiences, what thoughts, what studies? I mean, you can just go, and you're in it, and you go, you realize, oh, I was made for this. Or there's just a grin on your face. Do you know what I'm asking? So what are, I would love to just to hear from you. Yes. I'm sorry?
Mountain biking.
Yes. Isn't that?
Grandchildren.
Yes. Others?
Preaching the word,
yes.
Singing,
great.
Delivering babies.
Oh, wait, what? You mean helping deliver babies? Oh, okay, good. Are you a midwife? Yeah, or midwife or a doctor? Oh, good. Okay, great. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Helping deliver babies. Oh, boy, what else? Creativity. Yes. Anybody else? I'm sorry? What was that? I didn't hear it. Yeah. What was it?
Being deeply analytical.
Oh, somebody needs to take that guy out and show him a good time. I'm sorry?
Dancing.
Yes. Yes. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is that our God is actually a joyous being. It's fascinating. I was speaking at a church that was right across the street from a major university, and so there were some professors there. And on teaching in the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord Jesus, a professor came up afterward and he said, "You know, Bob, I've never thought about Jesus being a joyous person." It was a whole new thought for him. And it is, because we do, out of respect, we do get kind of, I don't know, somber or quiet or dignified. You know, we're trying to be, you know, trying to be appropriate when we speak of him. But there was a sense of joy in the Lord Jesus. And one of the places you see it, actually, he speaks of it just hours before his death. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you knew you were going to be entering death in 3, 3.5, 4, 5, 6 hours from now, how many of us would be thinking about, would even bring up the word J-O-Y? You know, we probably wouldn't occur to us to bring that word up. And yet in John 15, 7 through 17, our text for today, what I want to do is look at this part of the farewell discourse, but look at it through the lens of how Jesus brings out his joy. And then the second thing I want to do is share with you some remarkable new studies in neuroscience that deal with joy. Is that okay? Is that pretty cool? You know, remember the old saying that oftentimes in studying the universe and studying the sciences, all you're doing is thinking God's thoughts after him? Isn't it fun how they can shed light on the Word of God and help us enjoy a more robust sense of truth? Does that make sense? So I'd like us to look at the passage, but through the lens of how Jesus centers it in joy. And then bring out some findings from recent neuroscience studies. And then thirdly, just try to wrap it up in a real quick application. Does that sound like a good plan on this Father's Day? Because it's Father's Day. It means you're going to lunch and you're all going to eat bad food. Oh, you did that yesterday, right? Was it? I mean, anyway. You overate with a lot of... Anyway, okay. I'll let that one die. So John 15, verses 7 through 17. Oh, let me just set this up for you. Remember, it's the farewell discourse. It's towards the end of the Last Supper. And Jesus is telling the fellas, hey, I'm going to die. I'm leaving you, but you're going to be okay. In fact, as hard as this is going to be for you, you're actually going to bear more fruit than I was able to bear as a single individual. And so he's trying to help them, to brief them. Like, you know, okay, guys, I'm leaving you, but remember this. So John 15, verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Now, I don't know how many of you remember, I was with you 2 years ago and I preached from this very same passage. But where we focused then was on the word ask. Ask of me. And what I want to do is, I promise I won't just do the same sermon. Okay. But now we want to focus on the word joy. My joy I will give you. Your joy will be made full. And this is from a man who is about to die. Remarkable, isn't it? So where is all this going? Well, let me just set up a couple of review points. Remember, all of life is a series of prayer stories. And in prayer, you're relating to your Father, but then also you're anticipating the stories that come after you relate to your Father. Does that make sense? So anytime you pray, you enter a story between you, your Father, and the person you're praying for, or the matter that you're praying about. And prayer stories can develop 1,000 different ways. You just have no idea. You just know, okay, I've prayed about this, you've made note of it, and now you're watching God's providence unfold. I'll just give you a quick example that wasn't too long ago. I was walking in, I'd just fallen into a kind of a depression. I get them to laugh when I use the word depression. But it was just kind of, you know what I mean? And I didn't even know it. And at my work, I began to say things in meetings, in public meetings, that just kind of sounded a little bit like, I don't know, Debbie Downer, you know? Anybody? Yeah. Okay. Just kind of, you know? Just kind of insert a little thing that brings everybody down. Just in case you are having a good day, I just want to bring you down. And it was getting so pronounced that my boss called me. And by the way, anytime my boss calls me, I know I'm in trouble. He never calls me when things are going great. Do you have a boss like that? Oh, yeah, okay, good. You can have mine. But he called and he just said, Bob, something's wrong with you. What is it? This isn't like you. You're just kind of down. You're just kind of spreading the darkness. And, you know, the cheer in the room just kind of evaporates. And I thought, oh, you're right. You know, a good friend will speak truth into your life. Amen? And it hurts your feelings, but golly, you got to get over it. The faster you get over it and think about the truth, the better you are. And so I said to him, I said, Paul, I know something's wrong with me. I need help. You know, I need counseling. I need help. I'm in a hole and I can't get myself out. And as the Lord would have it, the prayer story went, I just began to pray for help. Amen. There's nothing wrong with praying for help. And I began to pray for help. And two things happened. One is I got a great counselor. Folks, don't try to climb out of holes on your own. Find a great counselor who can speak objectively into your life. Amen? Okay? So I found a great counselor who really helped me. But then also, a book just showed up in my mailbox. I have no idea who sent it to me. But it was this book all on the subject of joy. And it kind of introduced the material today. And I just began to read this. I'd never heard of the publisher. I'd never heard of the authors. I didn't even know who sent it to me. The publisher sent it to me. So, by the way, if you sent it to me, thank you. Because I'm going around asking, hey, by any chance, did you send me a book on joy? People are going, I would never send Bob Allums a book on joy. But this is the fun, the adventure of prayer stories. This is the adventurous Christian life you and I get to live. Amen? This is kind of, you know? And so where all this is going is life is a series of prayer stories. It's intended to be an adventure where you're relating to your Father through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus. And you're growing. You're developing. And you're at each step closer to heaven, you really do get closer to God. That's what it's designed to be. Amen? Yeah. And so here we are. The Lord Jesus is coming in, and he's telling us let me just put it this way. This body of truth, this teaching, it's a type of Hebrew poetic structure. And so every ingredient in the teaching is important. Are you with me? Okay. So every truth builds upon the previous truth, and it all comes in for a different flavor. It's a lot like a sandwich, only you're looking at the side of a sandwich. Okay. There's an upper piece of bread and a lower piece of bread. And he says this, the upper piece of bread, which is the main truth of the sandwich, the main truth of what's going on, he says, abide in me, live and relate to me. And the way you relate to me is you ask things of me. Maturity in the Christian life, according to the Lord Jesus, is learning how to ask him for help, learning how to tell him what you need. And that's a challenge, isn't it? That's maturity in all of life. How do you communicate well what you need, the help you need? And then the lower piece of bread is the sandwich. It's the same theme, only a different variation. It's still ask of me, but instead of ask and abide in me, it ends with ask and love one another as I have loved you. So all of this goes together. Are you okay? This is kind of complicated to, you can envision a sandwich, amen? Okay. And so what he's going to do is he's going to say, hey guys, you're gonna be okay. And let me tell you, because you're still gonna relate to me. And you're gonna relate to me by prayerfully asking me for help. I'm here to help you with what you need. So kind of make this your aim. We're going to go through the rest of our lives and we're going to ask big things. But you know what? We're going to watch for the overflow of the Spirit. The more you abide in him, the more you ask of him, the more his spirit is going to flow through you. And this is what he says are some of the ingredients that go in to this sandwich. The very first thing is he says, my word. Live in my word. Live in it so much that my word lives in you. So if you want my joy in you, even hours before your death, feed on the word of God. Amen? Do you know how many times the Bible uses the word joy or rejoice? This is, whoo, that's pretty good. I was going to say 430, but Dawn, I'll go with you. Over the root word over 430 times. Isn't that amazing, Dawn? It's all over the place. Do you know how many times the word of God is seen as a source of joy? I mean, Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them, and they became to me a joy. Or the joy of the Lord is my strength. Or with joy we reach our water, we draw our water from the wells of salvation. It's all throughout. But it's easy to miss this because, you know, we just, I don't know, it's a little hard. Anyway, we just miss it. I won't explain why. And so the feeding on the Word of God, so your Bible reading, your Bible thinking, your praying through Bible, all of that is going to eventually produce fruit of which the joy comes out. And then he says, asking without limit, we preached on that 2 years ago. I know you remember it. Yeah, right. Okay. Anticipation of what will happen. So here's where Jesus is going. Don't just pray, but pray and anticipate what God is going to do. It was George Whitefield who said this beautifully. I was working through a biography of the Wesley brothers. And it was Whitefield who said that at Oxford, they would have these three-hour prayer meetings. And when they would leave, they left. Whitefield said, when we left those prayer meetings, we left just wondering, what is God going to do? There was a sense of, it's going to be big. It's going to be great. Yes, but we have no idea what he's going to do. So do you see, even community prayer meetings lead to a sense of joy. So the word, asking, anticipation of what he's going to do, and then a life bearing fruit. Okay? And listen, your Father loves it when your life bears fruit. He just gets a hoot out of it. It's just a glorious thing. Anybody? You know? Okay, all right, it's Father's Day, so I'm going to take a liberty here. All right? You know what I'm most excited about today? Other than getting to be with you, how's that for a recovery? Is I've got three children, and every one of them has to call me today. You know, I'm going to be on cloud nine. You know, I don't want the gift. I just want the phone call. Amen? Amen. Yeah, that's just all it is. And so there's a joy in our children showing maturity and bearing fruit that's unlike any other joy for a dad. So when Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples, you're my students, you're my pupils, you know? And then all of this, what he loves seeing is actually us living lives according to his commands. Obedience. When was the last time you thought about obedience as, happy day, I get to obey God today. This is cool, you know? Because his commandments are not burdensome. He actually shows us his love through his commandments that he gives us. Amen? Do you pray for obedience? Do you ask for help in obeying and living per his directives? If not, just try it. Give it a shot, would you? And so all of this, all of these ingredients come down, and then Jesus throws into the middle of this construction, my joy I will give you. your joy will be made full. It's just kind of thrown into the middle of the sandwich. I like to think of joy as the tomato, the sliced tomato of the sandwich in August. Okay, aren't those the best? Yeah, and they just burst with flavor. And it just kind of, and all the flavors come together to form a distinct experience. But oh, the juicy, amen, you know, right? That's the joy. And then he goes on to basically share that from after that, what's going to happen is you're going to be learning how to love one another as I have loved you. In fact, he said, you and I are going to have a friendship. I'm no longer going to call you a hired hand. There's no slavery, you know? It's you're going to be a friend. And I'm going to fill you in on what my dad and I talk about. Isn't that a neat intimacy that comes? And as that spreads out through community, he basically says, I will be generous to you. I will give you a calling for your life. Did you realize you did? This is going to be so obvious. So anyway, you can go ahead and laugh if you want. Did you realize you did not think yourself up? Right? You are you by God's hand. Okay, you have the quirks you have the gift package you have the interests you have, the motivations you have. All of that has been designed by the one who thought you up and created you by the power of his word. Right? You know, do I get on your nerves? It's a gift of God. You know, it's just so, and what you want to do is find that calling because the rest of us need you living out that calling. And Jesus says, look, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, and we have these things going like this, you're going to fulfill a mission that nobody else on the earth can fulfill. And that is going to glorify my dad. You want to have another party? Is that pretty cool? Do you want to have another barbecue? Is there any left over, John? Yeah. Do you see where all this is going? Guys, I'm going to leave you, but you're going to be okay. And you're going to learn how to love one another even as I have loved you. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what we have found from some fairly recent developments in neuroscience, okay, that kind of add some flavor to all of this. And let me say, I think these are recent developments. I mean, I'm a ministry guy. I don't run around with, you know, neurosurgeons or... Okay. That was supposed to be funny. But at least to me, they're kind of recent developments. And that is this, that up until not too long ago, the way we studied the human brain was often after death during autopsy. And there was only so much knowledge you could gain. Does that make sense? But now we have this amazing ability to do brain imaging. And you probably have seen it on television where the colors change on the screen of the brain when different topics are brought out. You just see these the different parts of the brain coming to work together. It is wonderfully complex. We really are fearfully and wonderfully made. And here's what we found. We already knew that joy is that high energy feeling that you experience. It's an experience, often considered an emotion. It's often found in when you experience maybe seeing someone you haven't seen in a long time and that you really like. And you just, hey, John, haven't seen, whoa. How are you? You know that kind of joy that you have, right? Does that make sense? And here's what we found, that the joy center in the brain is actually on the right side, and it's behind the right ear. Isn't that fascinating? However, the left side of your brain is where you actually execute the actions of your life. It's where you choose what you're going to eat or, you know, what you're going to do. And so we find that the joy center's on this side of the brain, but the execution is on the left side of the brain. That's why I can stand before you right now and say, everybody be happy. 1, 2, 3, go. It probably didn't work, did it? You know, because you can't just decide and command it. And so I read this fascinating work by Marcus Warner and Chris Corsi. And what they were saying is that actually the capacity for joy can increase over time. And that's fascinating because Jesus is talking about your joy being made full. Doesn't that imply it's not full? And that it grows over time? Does that make sense? They actually do this wonderful, fascinating study of, that they make a case for childhood development and on the role of joy in child rearing. Isn't that fascinating? Okay. And that the children who just have a sense of joy, they know they are loved by their dad. They know they are loved by their mom. And that grows over and develops and matures over time. They have a tendency to do very well in life. If all of a sudden that gets cut off, that stops, the child has a tendency to not develop as well. Does that make sense? It's a fascinating thing. So where is all this going? You actually have a joy center, and you may not be able to just choose joy, but you can feed the joy center. And so when you're reading the Word of God and you're thinking about the content, you're actually preparing yourself for greater joy in life. That makes sense? But don't be surprised if the joy you experience comes more relationally or applicationally. Does that make sense? Questions on that? Comments? I'm just oh golly, I've got to stop. But I would love to a minute or two for. Just want to go think about it a while. where all this goes is this. Take in the Word independently or by yourself. Feed on the Word of God. Ask of Him, relate to Him through the power of His Spirit. Watch for the story to develop. But then watch how that is then worked out in Christian community, loving one another as I have loved you. It's not just about you being happier. He is giving you something to give to everybody else. And then watch for you to grow in these things, to mature, if you will. It's a real thing. One time I did a study on midlife crisis. Well, I just call it midlife point. And I found, it was really hard to find material on it. Not a lot of Christians wrote about it, but I found some. And you know, one of the things I found is that now that I'm a man in my 60s, which means I'm in the fourth quarter of my life, amen? Those of us, right? Right, any football fans in here? Let me just tell you, if you're a football fan, or if you're not, let me tell you, you live for the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter is where it all comes to bear. You manage the clock. You have just a sense of this game is going to come to a crescendo. You have a sense of if you need a trick play, now is the time to pull it out. You know? And I think it's a hoot. But one of the things I learned is that like on vacations, for example, it's not uncommon after midlife to all of a sudden enjoy shorter but more frequent vacations. So instead of a week at a resort, it's like two long weekends at different areas. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? And I find that my taste in music is changing. The way I taste food changes and enjoy it. So watch for joy and be open to how the Spirit develops it in you as you walk with Him. Because even coming to the end of all of this, one of the things we found, let me just share this real quick and then we'll go. One of the things we found is that the opposite of joy is anxiety or fear. And anxiety and fear can actually lead to inflammation in your body. And the older you get, the more inflammation is your enemy, right? Yeah. Is that right? You healthcare workers. What joy produces is an enzyme that works against inflammation. There's really something to joy being healthy. So don't write it off. You know what I mean? It's really an important gift God is giving you. And here Jesus is saying, I have joy even before I go to suffer my torturous death. That doesn't mean he's giddy. It doesn't mean he's excited. You know, it just means for the joy set before me, I'm going to endure this cross. And the ultimate joy will come when you breathe your last and you are brought into his presence. And that will be the ultimate place of celebration, health, and redemption. Amen. My joy I will give you. Your joy will expand and grow and develop and be made full. And it's not only going to bless you in your health and your body and your walk with it, it's going to bless the whole church. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing this out at the Last Supper. Thank you. Just hours before you were to die, you were teaching about this subject. And now, Lord, could we know the joy of the Lord? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the power of the Spirit go with us all. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.